You know, I can recall times that as I traveled to various places on mission trips, particularly when you're going someplace overseas, that occasionally you will come up with somebody that has two different passports. You know, they've got one that is a United States passport that would look just like mine, but then they also had a passport from another country. And I still remember having an occasion to talk with a fellow one time, and one of the things that he said was, he said, "Yes, I can travel back and forth fairly easily between America and whatever country it was." And he said, "The reason why is because I have this thing called dual citizenship," and that's why he had a passport for both of those places. And of course, that made me begin to think about several things, particularly on the spiritual level. And one of those things is simply this: did you know that you and I both have dual citizenship as a born-again believer? And when I say as a born-again believer, what I'm talking about is this is not our home. Earth is not our home. We're strangers, we're aliens, we are passing through. The Lord says that we're to live in this world, but not of this world. But our ultimate home is that place called heaven. So today we're going to talk about dual citizenship. So grab your Bible, come on back. We're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 3 in just a minute. See you then. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church at Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I trust and pray that your day and your week have been going well. I mentioned just a moment ago that we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Philippians chapter 3. I really just want us to look at one particular verse, and then I want to see how it's applicable to us where we are today. We were talking before about this thing called dual citizenship, and a lot of you may have heard of that in its truest sense of definition, as if what I mentioned before, when somebody is traveling or maybe they were born in another country and yet they live here in America and they're citizens of America. They have a U.S. passport as well as a passport to another place. I've seen this a lot with the folks from Cuba when we have traveled back and forth there. They have actually two different passports. But you and I as believers actually have a dual citizenship as well. All Christians have dual citizenship. Let me look and share with you Philippians chapter 3, particularly verse 20. It says this. It says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Did you get that part that said simply that we are citizens, or our citizenship is in heaven? Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our study today. Father, as we come to you, we just pray right now that you would just open our hearts and open our minds to your word. Father, help us in all that we do to hear you today. May your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts in a very special way. May you draw us close to you. May you help us to understand the value of the fact that we are citizens of heaven, even though we may be residing here on this earth at this point. Lord, use me as your messenger for these moments. Help me to lift you up, that others would truly see you and be drawn to you. And Lord, we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, like I mentioned just a moment ago, that all Christians, those who are born-again believers, have that dual citizenship. We are citizens of heaven, and we are traveling through this earth. I've often likened it to being able to describe it to somebody like this. You know, in my lifetime, I've spent many a night in a hotel room. You know, I can go into that hotel room and I could, if I could, I could move the bed around and I could move the furniture and I could rearrange it any way that I wanted to. But the bottom line is it's still not home. You know what that expression is? Be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. Well, for you and I, being here on earth is like the hotel room of all of eternity. This is not where we belong. We are citizens of heaven. We're citizens of this earth, but yet we are on our way to heaven. Earth is just that stopover for us. So this dual citizenship that we're talking about raises three different questions that we want to kind of discuss today out of God's word. The first question is, what are our responsibilities as citizens of heaven? That's number one. Number two, what are our responsibilities as citizens of earth? And then number three, what do we do when these responsibilities clash? And I know that's probably one of the biggest questions that some of you have. I know that's some of the question, one of the biggest questions I've heard in life as we go forward today. What happens when the responsibilities of being a citizen of heaven and the responsibilities of being a citizen of earth clash? How do we respond to that? And I'm going to give you that biblical answer to that here in just a moment. So let's go back and take that first question. What are our responsibilities as citizens of heaven? Now, you know, according to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, when we look at it, how did we become citizens of heaven? I think that's one of the first and biggest questions that we need to answer. We were born citizens of earth by a natural birth. You know, you were born to a set of parents, and if you were in the midst of the territories called the United States of America, you have a natural born citizenship. But you and I as believers, we were born into heavenly citizenship through our faith, through trusting in Jesus Christ, through asking Him to come into our heart and to save our soul and working to live for Him, to live for that place called heaven, that once we leave this earthly home that we have, that we will have that opportunity to spend heaven there. So salvation is what gives us dual citizenship. You know, your earthly birth gives you a citizenship here in America. If you were born in America, you're automatically a citizen. But as far as the heavenly citizenship, it is when you are also born again. Now, most of us know and understand what that terminology means. You know, you've heard it if you've been around anything that's church related. If you've read your Bible, it says you must be born again to be able to see the kingdom of heaven. I love how the Bible gives us that correlation of earthly families and heavenly families. You know, we talk about on earth, we have an earthly father. Well, in heaven, you have a heavenly father. You know, your earthly father, you know, provides for and protects you. We were just talking about that, you know, when we were talking about Father's Day a few weeks ago. But now, when you think about it from the earthly side, your heavenly father does the same thing. He protects you. He looks after you. He prepares for you. He prepares a place for you. So the way that you become a citizen of heaven is by being born again. In other words, trusting Jesus as your Savior. It's being a born-again believer. That is what marks your citizenship for that place called heaven. And that's what gives us dual citizenship. You know, even though I still am alive and living here on earth, you know, and I have a U.S. passport, I am a U.S. citizen, I am also a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. That is my earthly or my heavenly designation rather than my earthly designation. But yet I belong to both places because right now I am still living and breathing and the Lord hasn't come back. But when that happens, you know, when He calls me home either by death or by the rapture, when He calls us all out of here, I will be going to my heavenly home, okay? So that's how we become citizens of heaven. Now, the second thing that we want to talk about, is that we have to understand that we are representatives of our King while we are here on this earth. You know, you have to understand that. You know, heaven is my destination. That is my home. Earth, I'm just passing through, but I still need to represent my King, King Jesus, while I'm here on earth. So how do we do that? We do that through faith in Jesus. You know, Paul became a new man. I like what it says, and how many times has it maybe been described to you is that there was the old man and the new man. The old man, that sinful man, that sinful nature, who becomes the new man through his born-again spiritual nature. Now, that doesn't mean that when you have that new nature that all of a sudden you become perfect by any stretch of the imagination, because that's not something that can happen here on earth. That happens when we reach our heavenly home, okay? So Paul is talking about that new man. Then he then becomes an ambassador for Christ in this world. In other words, he is in a foreign place representing his master. When I think about this all the time, I recall a mission trip when I was down in a place called Falmouth, England, and they were doing what they call the tall ship races. If you're not familiar with that, it's like the big three-masted pirate ships, and they were having a race, you know, from point A to point B, starting in Falmouth, England. And it was a tremendous opportunity to be able to share the gospel message with folks that were in that port. So that was what we were there for. And I can still remember that as we were there, you weren't allowed to get on the ships. You could be all around that area of the port, but you weren't allowed to actually get on the ships. And I can still remember that the team I was with had been commissioned out of, I believe it was Louisiana or Mississippi. And one of the things that the mayor had done is he had written letters, and we were deemed ambassadors of goodwill. Now, if you know anything about that, what you'll realize is that that carries absolutely zero weight. It means absolutely nothing. It's just a formality. It was something for us to give to their mayor to wish them well, as it were. But I thought, you know what, if most people don't understand what that means, what a great opportunity to be able to use that to our advantage. So I can still remember the times of walking up the gangplank that we weren't supposed to walk up to the ships, and there was a guard right there, and the guard stops us, and he says, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Yes, my name is Roy Carter." I said, "I am the United States Ambassador of Goodwill, and I am here to see your captain." Well, they didn't have any idea what that meant. So obviously they would bring me on board and I got to see the captain. I would tell the captain, I said, "Look, we want to pray for your guys. We want to pray for safe passage and safe journey. We would like to speak with some of the guys if that would be okay." Man, they let us do whatever we wanted to because they thought that we were something political because I mentioned we were ambassadors of goodwill. Now, I didn't tell any story. We were. We had been deemed ambassadors of goodwill. So we used that to our advantage. So, you know, Paul was basically saying that he was an ambassador for Christ while he is in this world. And as born-again believers, that is what you and I are supposed to be. We're supposed to represent our Savior while we are here because we're not home yet. Heaven is our home. Now, in this role as being an ambassador, he called others to be reconciled to God in the same way that we did that. When we were on those ships, we had an opportunity to lead some of those sailors to Christ. We had a chance to pass out Bibles and all kinds of other things. So we got to represent not only our Savior, but we got to represent our country when we were in a foreign land, as it were. Okay. See, we're to live here on earth in a manner that causes other people to glorify our King. So that when they see us, they don't really see us, but yet they see Jesus. I love the passage in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 that says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Savior that is within you." We are to live blamelessly in order to be lights in a dark world. That's what Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 tells us. We are representatives of our masters. So the citizens of heaven should be easily identified on earth because of how we live. And I love what the Bible tells us. The Bible says that when it comes to the world, it says they will know that you are Christians, or they will know that you are believers by your love. Are we loving one another? When people see us, do they truly see us as for who we are, or do they see Christ that is living within us? Do they see something that they would desire in their own life, that being Jesus Christ? Okay, so we kind of talked there for a minute about that first question. What are our responsibilities as citizens of heaven? All right, so let's talk for just a minute about what are our responsibilities as citizens of earth. Now, we don't, for the sake of time, just jot this down. It's actually Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. We begin to see what the Lord tells us our responsibilities are as citizens of earth. Now, citizens of heaven we should be model citizens of earth. We should be the last person in the world that the law should have to be dealing with. We should be walking the line according to what those passages in Romans tell us. Now, you see, we are subject to leaders of the land. That is what the Word of God tells us. We must recognize that government is ordained by God. He said that we are to be, as believers, we are to be subjected to the governing authorities that are over us. In other words, there are going to be people who are over us, and we are supposed to be obedient to them, okay? We must recognize that the government and the players in the government are truly ordained by God. Now, some of y'all just rolled your eyes and said, Look at the administrations that we've had over the years. I'm not picking on anyone in particular, but I will tell you right now, that didn't take God by accident. He knows who's in the political office, and they are not there by accident. They're there for a reason. So we need to be submissive and subject to those governing authorities in our lives. Now, that's not the gospel according to Roy. That is the gospel according to the Word of God. We must honor those who enforce the law and those who keep peace. That is biblical. You can't get around that. Yeah, I like what the Lord said. He said, you render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but unto God the things that are God's. And that's going to be very important with the next point that we're going to make here in just a few minutes. But we must honor those who enforce the laws, and we must do the best we can to keep the peace. In verse 6 of that text in Romans that I just gave you, the Word tells us that we're to pay our taxes. You know, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, but unto God the things that are God's. In other words, you can't just sit back and say, well, I am a citizen of heaven, and therefore I don't answer to the laws of the land of the United States of America or any other country that you may be in, because the Lord says, yes, you do, plain and simple. Now, I know that for some of you right now, you're already thinking about the rub that's coming in. Bear with me. I'm getting there in just a moment. So don't just leave me right here. Stick with me, okay? See, we're to show respect for our leaders, the ones that are in those authoritative positions that are over us at this particular point. We're also to pray for those who have authority over us, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now, I can't tell you how many times in life I have had people say to me, I'm just not going to do that. There's no way I can pray for that particular person or that president or whatever else. The Word of God demands and commands that we should do that, to pray for those who have authority over us. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks for our leaders. Are you doing that? I know a lot of people right now, you're sitting there going, I don't like this Bible study today. I'm ready to turn it off and move on. Don't do it. Listen, you're going to be held responsible for these particular items because they're in the Word of God. You can't just circumvent them, okay? Our prayers for authorities can contribute to a peaceful life according to the Word of God. So now we've talked about what are our responsibilities as citizens of earth. We have talked about what are our responsibilities as, you know, citizens of heaven. So now we want to cover the one that I get questions about a lot, and that's this. What do we do when these two responsibilities clash? When the responsibilities of who we are as United States citizens clash with who we are in respect to our citizenship in heaven. Now, once again, for the sake of time, I'm going to give you some passages that I want you to read and to help further your study along. But just jot down Acts chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. So again, that's Acts chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. And I also want you to jot down Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Now, earthly authorities sometimes oppose the work of God. And you all are sitting back going, yep, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, there are things that we can see in our government today. There are rules and laws that we can see that are contrary to what God would have and what the Bible would say. Okay? So often I get the question, when those things oppose, what do we do? How is it that we go forward? Okay? Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment, and again, for the sake of time, I'm just going to kind of tell you the story. But in Acts chapter 3, particularly verses 1 through 8, there's a lame man who is at the temple, and this lame man was healed of the fact that he was crippled. The man who had been lame, essentially not able to walk, is now leaping around, and he is praising God. People are seeing this, okay? This miracle provided an opportunity, you know, for Peter and John to preach the gospel message. You know, they were sitting back saying, hey, look, this is not anything that we've done, but it is God Almighty who is the one who is the provider. He is the one who is the healer. He is the one who helped this lame man that you've seen, you know, for years and years and years that was lame. All of a sudden, now you're seeing him jumping around. He has truly been healed, and you know that. You know that something has happened. What a tremendous opportunity to preach the gospel. As I think about this, I often think about the joy of having the opportunity to go out with the North Carolina Baptists on mission for disaster response. Man, people are very in tune to listen to what you have to say when life has just taken a terrible, terrible turn. There are people that we get to share the love of Christ with that have lost everything, but we're sharing the love of Christ as we're trying to meet their immediate needs in a practical way as best we can. Their ears become open. They have seen some incredible things, and yet at this point they become very sensitive to the movement of the Holy Spirit in and around their lives. So what happened was, when we go back to this story about this man who has been healed, the leaders become angry about that. And they're kind of pointing to Peter and John as the problem. And they're seeing Peter and John that are preaching Jesus Christ, you know, crucified, buried, you know, resurrected and coming again as a way of salvation. So these angry leaders demand that Peter and John stop preaching. Now, let's put this into context again. Remember what we said before. What happens when our responsibility as earthly citizens clashes with our responsibility as heavenly citizens? Now, the earthly authorities, remember what I said a minute ago, the leaders back in this time of Peter and John, those who had legal authority by which to come to Peter and John, have done so, and they have demanded that Peter and John stop preaching. At this point, what do you do? Because now citizenship in heaven and citizenship on earth are clashing. What do you do? Well, I can simply give you the answer in a very simple way. It was the way that Peter and John answered it in the Word of God in those passages that we read of this particular story. I love what they said. They said, when the leaders went to him and said, you can't preach about the Lord anymore. You can't do that. Peter and John said this, we cannot help but to preach about or tell about the things that we have seen and the things that we have heard that the Lord has done. You know what they were? They were witnesses. What does a witness testify to? The only thing a witness can testify to are the things that he or she has seen with their own two eyes or experienced. Maybe things that they've heard with their own two ears. Those are things you can testify to. You can't testify to what somebody else has seen. In a court of law, that's called hearsay. So Peter and John are saying, we have seen God do such incredible things. We cannot help but tell other people about it. And folks, you and I as believers should have that same vim, vigor, and vitality and that same zeal to be able to go out and tell people what you and I are seeing and hearing that God is doing in our midst. I remember what a guy told me one time when I shared this with him, and he said, you know what the problem with that is, Pastor Roy? He said, the problem with that is there are too many people who aren't seeing or hearing God do anything in or around their life that gives them something to brag about. Folks, that is a personal testimony, not a good one, that when you're not seeing God working in and around your life, then there's a problem there. So Peter and John answered the powers to be, the earthly powers, by saying, essentially, we can't do that. You know, these disciples had been commissioned to tell the people of God's love, and that's what they were doing. In other words, their commission had come from God. Their commission didn't come from man. So what they basically said was, is it better for us to obey you, or is it better for us to obey God? As for me, I choose to obey God, because I'm going to be with him a whole lot longer than I'm going to be with you. He's a whole lot more powerful, and ultimately, my citizenship is in heaven. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, when you look around in our society today, you see a lot of things that clash. Our earthly citizenship is clashing with our heavenly citizenship. You look around at social issues that are going on, that are taking place. You look at things like abortion. You look at things like racism and hatred and all these other things that should not be. They are indictments against who we are as citizens of the United States of America. But the thing about it is, those are things that clash with our heavenly citizenship. So when it comes down to choosing between the two of those, I want to make sure that I don't leave any room for error. You choose the rules and directives of the citizenship of heaven over the citizenship of earth, even if that means you wind up in jail, just like, hey, look at Paul and Silas. Paul got put in prison for preaching. Here recently, I just had the opportunity to be a part of an ordination council for a pastor from Vietnam who has done time in prison for preaching the gospel. We don't have things like that going on around here. But you know what? The bottom line for him was he had already pre-decided that his citizenship in heaven was more important than his citizenship here on earth. Yeah, his directives were more toward the Heavenly Father rather than the folks from Vietnam. And because of that, he has paid some price. But yet, God still continues to bless him. He'll do the same thing for you. Make sure that you choose well, that you choose wisely, and that you choose properly. And most of all, you choose your citizenship of heaven over your earthly citizenship. Okay? See, these disciples, remember what we said a minute ago, they had been commissioned to tell the people of God's love. They explained that they were responsible to tell what they knew. They couldn't stop doing that. They said, how can we stop but to tell the things that we have seen and the things that we have heard? I pray that God's doing such incredible things in your life that you are that way as well. That you're seeing God do incredible things in your life that you have to, you can't hold it back. You just have to go tell others about what God is doing or what God has done in your life. And you're given all credit and all glory to the Father. See, they said that they must obey God rather than men. Can you say that you've done that here on this earth? You know what? I'm going to obey God rather than men. Okay? Can you do that? All right? How are you representing Jesus as a citizen of heaven? When you're here on, are you an ambassador? Do other people see Jesus in you as you go through your earthly life, as you're through your day-to-day work regimen, as you walk through your neighborhood, as you interact with the people that you interact with? You know, are you representing Jesus because you're a citizen of heaven and you are an ambassador to the United States or wherever you may be at this particular point? Yeah, you know, are you recognized as a good citizen of earth? In other words, are you following the laws? Are you doing what you should be doing about following the laws on earth, providing that they don't clash with the laws and our citizenship of heaven? Are you a good citizen here on earth? I've said it before. Christian people should be the best citizens that there are. They should be the people that you want around because they're going to be those who are going to obey the law. They're going to follow it until it conflicts with God's law. But you know what? It's not every area that that happens. There are more areas that we can be good citizens on earth and follow that law than there are things that clash with our heavenly citizenship. So you should be model citizens, okay? And finally, are you committed to obeying God, whatever the cost? You know, I shared with you a moment ago about the pastor that I was privileged to sit on his ordination council and to hear his story and to hear his testimony and to think, I wonder how many people would be that resilient when it came down to obeying what God has said to do, even in the midst of danger, even in the midst of imprisonment, even in the midst of the potential of losing your freedom and being put into prison if you don't renounce the Lord or turn your back from Him. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. It may not be happening right here in the United States of America, but I promise you that it is happening in places around the world. And today, even as you hear my voice, there are people who are being persecuted. There are people who are being beaten for the cause of Christ. There are people who are deciding, pre-deciding actually, that they are going to represent Jesus as a citizen of heaven, regardless of what the cost may be while they're here on this earth. Can you truly say that you can and have done that as well? I hope and trust and pray that you can. We're going to ask God to give you strength here in just a moment as we close out our time of Bible study here together today. I want to go ahead and let you know what your reading for this week will be. This week I want you to be reading in the book, the Old Testament book of Isaiah chapter 59. Once again, that is Isaiah chapter 59. And next week we're going to discuss three constants in an age of change from the book of Isaiah chapter 59, particularly verses 1 and 2. So once again, next week we're going to be looking at three constants in an age of change, because you and I know everything is changing almost on a daily basis here on earth. But we're going to be looking at those passages, specifically Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. So spend some time in Isaiah 59 this week, being familiar with that. And today, as we close in prayer, remember what those three questions were. What are our responsibilities as citizens of heaven? What are our responsibilities as citizens of earth? And what do we do when these responsibilities clash? You need to pre-decide, because I will promise you that all of those things are going to happen to you if they aren't already. And you need to know, this is what I'm going to do when these things happen. I trust and pray that you will make the right decision and that you will follow the Lord every step of the way. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you now, I just ask and pray that you would help each and every one of us to understand what our responsibilities are as citizens of earth. But Lord, even more than that, I pray that you'll help us to understand what our responsibilities are as citizens of heaven. And Father, when the two of those clash, and they're doing so more and more as the days go by, help us to choose wisely. Help us, Father, to choose correctly, and help us to truly be able to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I pray, Father, for grace and strength for the journey for each and every person that is gathered around your word today. I pray, Father, a special blessing upon those that have joined us for this Bible study today. And I pray that you will bless them and their families in a way that they will be able to see it and that they will magnify your good name. Father, may, as the word says, may you watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another until we have an opportunity once again to gather around your word. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, I want to thank you for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you don't have a church home or you happen to be in the Oak Ridge area, we would love for you to stop by and worship with us. Our Sunday services start at 10:45 a.m. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you are familiar with the area, we are right across the street from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. Be sure if you show up to introduce yourself to me. I'm Pastor Roy. I would love to be able to see you this coming Sunday morning. God bless you. I pray you have a great, great week.